Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 8 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. Fatal house fire in North Wichita. We've got the story.
At least two people dead after separate shootings in Wichita. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
A Kansas lawmaker is switching parties. I'm Dave Wilson.
I'm KNSS meteorologist Ann Holliday. 2019 has been an extremely wet year for us, but lately we've been in a dry pattern. When will our next chance of rain be? We give you the full forecast in a few minutes.
One person is dead after a house fire in North Wichita. First responders called to 21st and Jackson around 11:30 Sunday night. They found a person inside the home and brought that person out, tried to revive the person, but they died. Victim pronounced dead around 12:03 this morning. A battle of talking points and messaging in Washington as public impeachment inquiry hearings continue into a second week.
Democratic Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney said on ABC's This Week, by all appearances, the president used federal military aid as a bargaining chip to Ukraine.
That is solicitation of a bribe, and that is an impeachable offense listed in the Constitution.
But Republicans like Congressman Chris Stewart, also on ABC, said the whistleblower has to be a part of this process.
We could protect him, and how in the world can you impeach the President of the United States and never hear from the person who started that process?
More hearings with government officials are scheduled for this week. Gernal Scott, Fox News.
A fatal shooting in Fresno, California last night. Fox 26 Fresno reporter Marie Ettinger explains.
Those people were at a party. There were about three dozen people at a home just watching a football game, many of them in the outdoor backyard area. Somebody came up around 8 p.m. and started shooting. Police are looking for at least one person, but right now they have no clues as to who that person might be. All of the victims in this case were Asian men between 25 and 35 years old, but again, they have no idea who might have done this. They do believe that that shooter probably knows at least one person who was at the house, but right now they aren't too sure of what might have caused this.
Authorities report out of 10 victims wounded, four have died.
One man is dead and a woman injured in a shooting in South Wichita. This happened Saturday night at an apartment complex in the 2800 block of South Emporia. A man in his 20s is dead and a woman also in her 20s seriously injured. The woman had a gunshot wound to her abdomen and underwent surgery. Police say this is a case of domestic violence and that there are no suspects. One of the victim's wounds was self-inflicted. Names of the victims have not been released.
And police have arrested 40-year-old Travis Shaw of Wichita, one count of second-degree murder.
This happened after a carjacking attempt near Lincoln and Woodlot in southeast Wichita at approximately 2:30 a.m. Saturday. Responding officers found a 42-year-old male victim in the front yard of a residence in the 900 block of South Mission. The man was pinned underneath a vehicle in critical condition and died of his injuries on the scene. After investigators spoke with witnesses and reviewed evidence, they arrested Shaw. Police say that Shaw and the victim knew each other. The victim's name has not been released. The investigation continues and the case will be presented to the Sedgwick County District Attorney's Office. Rodney Price, KNSS News.
A Republican who grew up in foster care will challenge Wichita Representative Michael Capps for Kansas House District 85 seat. The district in northeast Sedgwick and western Butler counties includes parts of Wichita, Bel Air, Keachy, and Benton. Patrick Penn commented on the John Whitmer Show.
I am pro-life. I am pro-2A. I am pro-accountability of our elected officials. I am pro-Kansas. I am pro-Wichita. I am pro-family values. And those types of things lead me to, in addition to my military service, to be pro-freedom.
The John Whitmer Show, Sunday night at 7 on KNSS.
Deadly protests erupting in Iran over gas prices being raised 50%. Iran's supreme leader backs the government, hinting that a potential crackdown on demonstrations may occur. Fox's Benjamin Hall with the details.
The spark that led to these protests was the hiking gas prices. But really, these large-scale protests are more indicative of the long-term simmering conflict between the people of Iran and the regime of Iran. And it's all compounded now by U.S. sanctions. Up to 100 towns across the country have now seen these protests, and up to 59 people are reported to have died. Roads have been blocked, cars have been burned, banks, fuel stations, government buildings attacked after the regime decided to raise their gas prices by 50%. But many people are also angry at Iran's spending abroad on wars in Syria and elsewhere, and they're angry at the endemic corruption and the low quality of life.
The Iranian government has arrested more than 1,000 people and shut down the internet.
KNSS News Time now, 8:04, 4 minutes past 8 o'clock.
We'll be taking a look at a preview of tonight's Monday night football game in Mexico City for the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll have that coming up in a few minutes.
And Ford is unveiling its first all-electric SUV. That story just ahead on the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. The KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted, now 8:08, 8 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Monday morning. A Kansas City area lawmaker who made headlines by switching to the Democratic Party last year is seeking the state Senate seat of another lawmaker who did the same thing.
Four-term state representative Stephanie Clayton of Overland Park has announced that she would run next year for the seat held by Democratic State Senator Barbara Beaulieu of Mission Hills. Beaulieu is the Democrats' leading candidate for the U.S. Senate next year and is not seeking re-election to the state legislature. Both Clayton and Beaulieu were elected as state lawmakers as moderate Republicans, but switched parties in December. Clayton's decision sets up a Democratic primary in Beaulieu's district. Former Kansas Democratic Party Executive Director Ethan Corson of Fairway announced his candidacy in October. Dave Wilson, KNSS News.
Democrat John Bel Edwards reelected for a second term as governor of Louisiana. Fox's Casey Stegall has more.
It's a pretty big upset for Republicans here in Louisiana because this is a ruby red state. There was this big campaign push to get your neighbor out to vote, to get Louisiana back to your conservative roots, really working hard to take back the governor's mansion from the incumbent, Democrat John Bel Edwards. But the Democrats really mobilized themselves, and the crowd of supporters proved that last night.
Edwards defeated Republican Eddie Rispone with 51% of the vote.
President Trump is set to tout U.S. manufacturing in Texas later this week, visiting tech giant Apple.
President Trump and Apple CEO Tim Cook on Wednesday will tour facilities in Texas, where Apple products are made to showcase companies that keep jobs in America. Cook is seeking further relief for Apple from U.S. tariffs on Chinese imports. In September, Apple said it would make its new Mac Pro desktop computers in Austin. That move came after the Trump administration waived tariffs on an array of Apple computer components. The president has made boosting the U.S. manufacturing sector one of the goals of his presidency. At the White House, John Decker, Fox News.
Ford is unveiling its first all-electric SUV, marking the start of an avalanche of battery-powered vehicles coming from mainstream and luxury automakers during the next 2 years that industry analysts say will boost electric vehicle sales. The Mustang Mach-E, which will go 230 miles to more than 300 miles per charge, depending on how it's equipped, was unveiled Sunday night ahead of the Los Angeles Auto Show press days. 8:11 now. It's Steve and Ted here on KNSS.
And this morning we've got a couple of traffic accidents now to talk about. We've got one traffic accident on westbound Kellogg at I-135. Keep to the right on that one. That's kind of on the left side there, so keep to the right. That's westbound Kellogg, I-135. Another traffic accident reported at Maple and Meridian. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Jed Chambers.
And now the forecast with KNSS staff meteorologist Dan Holliday. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. With a cloudy start to the day across south central Kansas, we will have a gradual clearing sky, sunny and near 70 this afternoon with winds turning to the northwest. It'll be clear and cool tonight, our low 39, and then sunny on Tuesday with a high 67. I'm KNSS meteorologist Dan Holliday.
Now partly cloudy, we've got a southwest wind at 13 miles per hour and 46 degrees. Nice day in Kansas, central Kansas yesterday with a high of 61 degrees, normal high 56. And then you look at Dan's forecast today, up around 70 degrees. We're going to have so far a nice week as the week before Thanksgiving as we start off on this Monday morning. 8:12 now, Steve and Ted here on KNSS. On this date, this is November 18th, and on this date in 1963, the Bell System introduced the first touch-tone telephone system in Carnegie and Greensburg, Pennsylvania. Before that, we had something called the rotary dial. It was a circle with all these little holes in it there, Ted. Did you ever have that in your house?
Well, sure. When I was a kid, that's all we had. Yeah.
And
I don't remember getting the touch tone until the 80s.
Okay. Well, I know we had it out in my house earlier than that, but 1963 was...
Well, you were on the cutting edge.
Yeah, we were out there in the, you know, the west part of the modern part of town.
Paying for the newfangled stuff.
The newfangled stuff, you know, like, you know, anyway. That's the rotary dial.
No, I felt like I was still using the rotary and as a grade schooler.
Were you?
Yeah, okay. I think so.
All right. It's 8:13 now, Steve and Ted here on KNSS. And with us this morning is Fox News Radio's Rachel Sutherland. We've got another week of impeachment inquiry hearings going on and some big hearings coming up. Thought we'd get a preview with Rachel. Good morning, Rachel.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, it's going to be a big week. Nothing today, but 8 witnesses are set to testify this week. And start tomorrow with 4 of them, Jennifer Williams, an aide to the vice president. He's been tweeting about her, by the way, calling her a never-Trumper. Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, he was on that July 25th phone call. Kurt Volker, who's the former special envoy to Ukraine, and also Tim Morrison. He's with the National Security Council. All of them will testify tomorrow. I think for Democrats, their biggest witness is going to be Wednesday with European Union Ambassador Gordon Sondland, because he was on some of these calls with the president. That's what other diplomats testified. There was an aide to one of the diplomats who was with Sondland and Ukraine that testified behind closed doors over the weekend about what he said was a phone call between Ambassador Sondland and the president in which he could overhear. It made me chuckle when I read his opening statement that the president was speaking so loud that Sondland took the took the phone away from his ear. But
it hurt.
Again, yeah,
it hurt his ear. Okay.
And so Republicans are really relying on the argument that they're saying this is all hearsay. And Sondland could be the one to connect these dots. And so depending on what comes out of testimony on Wednesday, if he does connect it and said, yes, I did this, and yes, I talked to the Ukrainians and told them to no aid until investigations were open, then that would lead Republicans to the next defense would be this is not impeachable behavior. So that's kind of how it's going. I mean, if Sondland doesn't connect the dots, then a lot of this falls apart for Democrats, and they won't be able to make such a compelling argument. I mean, still, sometimes hearsay is allowed in the court of law. Generally, it's not.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
When you have a lot of circumstantial evidence and a lot of people saying the same thing, Democrats will seize on that. I think ultimately, though, when it comes down to it, Republicans will argue that what the president did is not an impeachable offense and not a reason to kick him out of office. But new polling is suggesting that people really are watching this closely. There's a new poll out showing that, I believe it was an ABC News poll, 70% of Americans believe what if the president did this, that it's wrong to ask a foreign country to investigate a political rival. So that's a lot. And polling is also showing that people are kind of following this. But by and large, it's remained steady with about 40% of Americans who believe the president should be impeached. So still not the large majority.
Have you been able to gauge any fallout about the president tweeting while the witness was actually testifying on Friday?
Yeah, that was really an amazing moment. I was anchoring our coverage of that when it happened.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, and so then Adam Schiff, the Democrat who chairs the committee, put it up on a screen in real time and asked her to respond to it.
Wow.
And it was just fascinating. But here's the thing. I mean, Democrats are saying that's witness intimidation. The president and Republicans are saying, well, he has a right to speak his mind, that he can say what he wants. And that's true. But saying what he wants could have consequences, and Democrats, I don't know how they're going to do this because I don't think that witness intimidation is spelled out as a high crime or misdemeanor, but they're already talking about drafting an article of impeachment right there. And even some Republicans were not happy with what the president did. They just said their advice to him was, you know, just let her do her thing and don't make a big deal of it, and he kind of made it worse for himself in the middle of that hearing.
Well, I understand that Nancy Pelosi actually said now that if the president would like to come down and testify, he sure as heck is welcome to do that. Did I see that today?
Yeah, she did say that yesterday on CBS Face the Nation. What's fascinating is just not long ago, a few minutes ago, the president said he would consider that.
Wow.
On Twitter.
I'll tell you what. That's going to be
Well, that would be a day.
Some good television and radio right there, isn't it?
Absolutely, if he actually does it, which
yeah.
who knows.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, thank you. We appreciate your coverage this morning. Fox News Radio's Rachel Sutherland. It's going to be a big week on Capitol Hill. 8:17, Steve and Ted. The last remaining survivor of the Hindenburg disaster has died. Werner Gustav Donner was 90. His son says a church service was held Friday. Donner died November 8th at a hospital in Laconia, New Hampshire. He was the only person left of the 62 passengers and crew who survived.
I have no idea.
The May 6th, 1937 fire that killed his father, sister, and 34 others.
Oh, my gosh.
He was just 8 years old when that happened. So there you go. He was on the flight coming back from Germany. And it reminded me, Ted, that when the movie Hindenburg came out, when was that, in the 70s sometime, mm-hmm. George C. Scott and whatnot, he was coming to town, and I had the chance to interview Herbert Oglesby Morrison. You know who that is?
He was the radio announcer.
He was the radio announcer on live radio.
Yeah, with that.
Who described it. I got to interview him.
All-time famous call.
Oh, the humanity.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
He was, so I got to interview him as part of my career back in the 70s. How about that?
And I still can't fathom how 62 people survived that.
Oh, when you see
when you look at the video, the film of it, you're like,
how did 62 people survive that? Yeah, because it just blew up. Wow.
Yeah, more survived than actually perished.
Which you're like,
that's amazing.
Yeah.
From the video,
when you see the film, you're like, how does that even happen?
And the blimp or dirigible craze in the 30s, these things were like mini hotels that went across the ocean, and you could see down and wave at people in the boats below. They were luxury things.
Oh, yeah.
And this pretty much spelled the end of
that
it
was,
right there.
That was about the end of it.
Yeah. 8:19, Steve and Ted here on KNSS. It is sports time with Ted Woodward. We got a big one going on in Mexico City tonight, Ted.
Yeah, and first place is on the line. Chiefs trying to stay in the playoff spot is on the line. It's all being played tonight, Monday Night Football, a year after the Chiefs were supposed to play in Mexico City, and they didn't because of bad field conditions. Now they get to do it tonight. The first place Chiefs and the Los Angeles Chargers, first of two meetings between these division rivals. This one is played in Mexico City. Chiefs in Mexico for the first time in 23 years since they played a preseason game against the Cowboys in Mexico City. Chiefs are a 5-point favorite tonight. We spoke with the play-by-play voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holtis. We talked about the fact that this game is being played at altitude, a mile and a half above sea level.
The Chargers went to Colorado Springs this week to the Air Force Academy to train at altitude at 5,000 feet, 6,600 feet, I should say, at Colorado Springs. The Chiefs stayed here. We're not leaving until Sunday morning, really early, but we're leaving Sunday morning. We're just going to go down there and play and come back. Because our folks that did this scientific study on this think if you working at altitude for a week doesn't really help. In fact, it can hurt. If you're going to train at altitude, you really need to do it about a month or six weeks or so. I just don't think a week works. You just hope that a couple hours works because it is 7,300 feet above sea level.
The Chiefs and the Chargers tonight. The Chiefs must win this game tonight to stay in a playoff spot. If they lose, they would be on the outside looking in because first place in the division is on the line tonight. Mitch Holtis and the broadcast crew begin their pregame coverage at 6 o'clock. The game will kick off at 7:15 this evening in Mexico City, right here on your radio home of the Chiefs. Make sure you're listening tonight here on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Some other action in the NFL yesterday. The first-place Indianapolis Colts win at home, beat the Jacksonville Jaguars 33-13. Playing for the Colts yesterday at corner on defense, Shaquille Taylor, rookie out of Kansas, former Jayhawk, had 5 tackles in that win for the Colts, who are 6-4 on the season right now, and they are leading their division. The San Francisco 49ers roll right along, win at home. The Niners beat the Arizona Cardinals 36-26. The 49ers are now 9-1 on the season. Starting an outside linebacker for the Niners, Elijah Reed, former Kansas State Wildcat, had a couple of tackles. And also another K-State Wildcat, DJ Reed, in the defensive backfield for the 49ers, had a 4-yard fumble return for a touchdown late in the game. A couple of former K-State Wildcats helping the 49ers to yet another win, now 9-1 on the season. NASCAR racing yesterday, the final race of the season. And winning the crown, Kyle Busch wins the race and wins the 2019 NASCAR Championship for the year. Kansas native Clint Bowyer finishing in sixth place yesterday, his 18th top 10 finish of the season. And when the standings were all calculated, Clint Bowyer finishes the year in ninth place in total points.
Great.
In the NASCAR racing, a top 10 finish.
Way to go.
On the season for Kansas native Clint Bowyer. The Wichita State women's basketball team won yesterday at Koch Arena, got their first win of the season, beat Southern 69-63. The Wichita State volleyball team finished its season yesterday with a road win, a sweep at East Carolina, as the volleyball team finished up its final weekend with a couple of wins to wrap up the season. And that means it's Monday. That means it's Coach's Show night. Back-to-back-to-back-to-back coaches shows tonight over on Sports Radio KFH, 1240 AM, 97.5 FM. You've got Shocker men's basketball coach Greg Marshall at 6 o'clock, women's coach Keita Adams at 7 o'clock, the season finale with volleyball coach Chris Lamb at 8 o'clock, and then Kansas men's basketball coach Bill Self at 9 o'clock. So there's your place to be if you want to get all the coaches shows for your fill for the week. There you go. That's sports with Steve and Ted.
8:23 now. Keep it here for the Hannity Morning Minute. Sean says talk of witness intimidation harms the country. That's coming up. Steve and Ted in the morning on KNSS.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.